What up?
What's going on, man? How you been?
Man, I can't call it, brother. How you feel?
Same exact boat, my man. Been busy, dude. We're opening a new store this week. It's just full on.
CK was telling me about that, about the
Yeah, man. So this was like how classic stuff goes with cannabis. It's like I use this example a lot, but they'll give you full certainty, and then like the last five words of that sentence completely contradict certainty. So it's like, yeah, man, definitely October 1st, that store is open. We are going to be open. Get that marketing plan running, man. Send it my way. Let me see it. Only thing that would stop us is if we don't approve, get approval from the. I don't think we will. So maybe it'll be next month. Like, it's just this level of confidence, and then out of nowhere it's like, but probably not later.
But yeah. But don't get too hype about it.
That's what
That's
they
how
do
they
with
do
us,
that shit,
man.
man.
In cannabis, always, guys, you're gonna be able to start making 100 milligram edibles and sell them on the street, and they're gonna approve it. The state's gonna love it, unless they don't love it, which they don't. So don't make them.
I believe you though. Like the hurry up and wait groove. Like that's I'm sure they do that. That's the that they do that all the time. The good old government, man. Good old
Right.
government. Stay getting this in. But before I even get too ahead of myself, man, let me give my introduction to let the folks know who they talking to. We have a world renowned, proud girl dad who not only is a girl dad but is a twin girl dad, so he is getting it in double doses at this point. But we have my man David Tart here with us, who is one of Curaleaf's marketing managers. But we're going to get into the professional shit, we're going to get into the personal stuff and all that good things. But man, how you been, man? Just what was the NCF was the last time I saw you, talk to you, really, face to face, besides, on the interwebs and what have you.
Right. No, man, I've been good. Staying busy. I mean, that's kind of the underlying this industry is, even when you think you caught up, you're never caught up.
You
So
never caught
nah. So when I
up.
saw you at NCF, I saw you guys and the team and everybody out there. The following week I traveled up to Boston and did the New England Cannabis Festival up there, and then came home that Friday. And that Monday was the Cannabis Science Conference in Baltimore. So I had done three
Oh
festivals
yeah.
in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, you was double dipping, triple dipping.
I
You was
man,
it was a lot.
I was a soggy chip to get done.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was a lot of dip on your chip. This is definitely a lot of dip on your chip. Man, I appreciate you for hopping in. You know what I'm saying? Jumping on, we like to say coming off the bench on the show. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I appreciate you coming off the bench. Man, I was like, man, it's season two. I didn't believe there was there. I'm still stuck. I even have a goddamn podcast. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like people, and then people actually like listen to it. Like that's the wildest thing. People are like, yo, when I'm gonna get another show? And I be like, you really listen to this? Like my rambling ass. I ain't talk about nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? But
Oh,
people on that.
there's nothing in
Not.
this world like a nobody and having somebody hear you.
Yeah. Like it's the a little small 15-minute show that I really talked about, like how I came up with the name, and I think I'm the Candyman trailer had just came out, so I just was talking about that. But people was like, "Yo, that was a really good, that was one of your best shows, man." I really, and I was like, "Nah, are you serious?" Like, so you know what I'm saying? I was like, but anywho, I said, "Man, who can I get on this drink, man? I really wanted to, get somebody that people normally ain't gonna hear from or something like that, and somebody that always makes moves on behind the scenes, like, you know what I mean? But like no one might know." So I was like, man, let me dig into my canna bag You know what I'm saying? And see who I can find. And I said, no, man, no other than Sir. So you know I gave you a nickname, right?
You know what? I did not, but I'm ready.
So here's the thing, right? So they would, like, you know, the team will tell you, and Vic will tell you too. Like, that's one, the only thing that me and George, well, it's only two things that me and George W. Bush have in common. The giving everyone nicknames and our crush on Michelle Obama.
Well, throw me in that group too, then. I give nicknames whether I'm or not. I think Michelle Obama is bad to the bone.
Okay, all right, then we'll throw you in that because
only two things I probably get.
He don't like broccoli, I think, or something like that. Like, I bang with broccoli, so I put it in a lot of my stir fry moves and everything. So I'm cool with broccoli. I ain't really got an issue with that. But yeah, that's.
Any factor that differentiates you from George W. It is your preference for bro. That's got to be the number one thing.
I think so. Anything else is up for debate. Like, yeah, it got to be that. But I said, man, I gotta. You know, I came up. I said, man, I gotta get D. Baker on my show, dog. And. And you got to think about it. I said, man, this man's last name is Tart. You know what I mean? So
right.
You got to go with a bakery kind of thing. You'd be like, you don't want to say the bakery, because then that makes it seem like you're a big guy and you always have pastries of some sorts or something. I said, nah, man. He's the baker, man, because he comes up with this heat. Like, you know what I mean? You're doing marketing. Like, so you got to cook up some stuff. D. Baker. I was like, right there, yo.
Yeah,
man. Listen, the next time you see me, you might have a D. Baker shirt. So just know that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it might be on deck. I'm just saying. Like, I'm one of them guys, man. So
I'm obsessed with you. You can't go wrong giving me a shirt.
Oh, say less than. Yeah. Like, you might have messed up, buddy. Like, that might have been the wild mall gift right there.
I got I got two whole like drawers in my dresser in our basement that are filled with just cannabis shirts.
That's dope. You know what you should do? You seen the it's a joint that lets you make like quilts.
Oh, that's right.
You send the and they see a whole. Tapestry of America, of cannabis.
That's not a bad idea, because I got a bunch of brands, like a bunch of like one-off, like limited run. Man, that'd be dope. Yeah. I can only wear one at a time.
Exactly.
Right.
But you want a blanket in this? I charge you for that. I'm free.
That's not.
I'm like, get a whole lot of
free. I'll take that.
Let's jump into some of these. I'm gonna do your so that I'm gonna wait to do your this so bad. Yeah,
I'm gonna do your this.
All right.
Great topic right there. So we gonna jump on in, man. How did you start at Cureleaf?
So I guess my path to Cureleaf cannot be mentioned without giving absolute homage to my path for Grassroots. So I was actually a legacy employee for Cureleaf with the merger with Grassroots.
Okay.
So I actually started a few years back. I was the field marketing manager for Maryland, PA, and Connecticut. And while I was doing that, man, that was I inside. So I was was a liaison for a pain management group. And 2 or 3 years in was when the opioid problem became super bad. And, you know, I say it like it was ever a thing, but like,
right.
It became like zeitgeist. Everyone knew about it. Everyone talked about it. Well, I'm very much so morally driven in a lot of what I do. So working for a company that while we were very stringent and it wasn't, you know, it and all that, but we were still pretty prescribing opioids while acknowledging that opioids were taking people out. And that started to bother me. So when medical cannabis was discussed coming to Maryland and was on the bills and was being voted on, I started mentioning to the doctors I worked with, said, hey, this might be something to look into. Long story short, they looked into it, but a lot of patients weren't getting any sort of follow-up. So I took it upon myself to learn. And that was where I dove headfirst into the science, because they would get emails, you know, hey, sir, come to this virtual education. And they were busy, man. They were 7 days doing spine surgery. Like, I was free at that time. And I attended these and learned cannabis, you know, as an analgesic and what cannabis does for your endocannabinoid system, you know, certain things. Well, I took that knowledge and I said, I got to get in the industry, because working in pain management, the cannabis side was just a fact. I wanted it to be everything. So I reached out through my resume everywhere, as you can imagine, and I'm sure you've seen people do. And I got in touch, or well, reached out to me as well with my resume, and you know, they came in, and it was an independent company when I joined, and, you know, smaller staff. And it was, when I talk about this, I can't say enough nice things. They are the smartest, most driven, dedicated, passionate people I could imagine to work with, man. And then with the merger happening, if you were doing marketing before COVID, we had an opening. We'd love for you to fill it. So I shoes back on, man, and the rest is history.
One time for grassroots then, man, because that, listen, not only is there Texas Shoreline live resin cart, the
damnies,
but they're Ray Charles, man. They're Ray Charles cart and flower. One time for the roots, man. One time for the roots.
And the people, man. Like, we all know it's a plant. Like, Ray wouldn't be as good. Ray's not as good if these same people don't put the heart into it.
Right.
It's my favorite brand. You know, some people are like loyal to Nike, or like, I only wear you know, true religion. It's like, that's me with grassroots, man. If I pick, if someone says, hey, we got flower in, if I will get the grass. I love the brand. I love the product, the people. It's a win-win-win.
They're definitely up there for me. Like, I mean, especially, I'll say I have gone for a long ride on the cart move. And with grassroots, for sure. Like, their carts never let me down. Like, never, ever, ever, ever. But I'm on this Star Dog, this Select Star Dog right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I think that's probably the that might be right there. Like, they know when I mess with the Star Dog, because they like, oh, he's sending these crazy messages at 2 o'clock in the morning of designs. Like, this bouquet, we got Letterman jackets now. Like, it's like, it's okay, Star Dog. We know what's going on with that. But all right, what's your typical day look like?
Man,
which I'm pretty sure is never a typical day. Like,
honestly. Right. So if we're talking professionally, it's not a typical. But we're talking, you know, throughout my entire day, like everything. Oh, it's damn sure not a typical day.
No, for sure. Because for sure. I know that's but like, how old are your girls?
They're 18 months.
Yeah, see, they still in the cute phase. So they not necessarily trying to kill themselves that much.
Well, we're in the heat of that thing has to go in your mouth before you even realize.
Yeah. I was gonna say, but y'all still probably that TV kind of, we want to bite it and
they're loving. They love like getting on top of stuff. a little toy picnic table for them to like eat snacks at.
They're climbing on it.
Oh, they're on it and they're silent. They're silent. You don't even hear them like step up. They're silent. And then you turn are standing on top of it, like teetering back and forth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I split kind of like, I either run and get you off this table moment.
No, it's a real, I like to call them come to Jesus moments.
Oh, like, because sure.
They got to figure this out. Because, you know, I got two boys. So my boys are, now my oldest is playing football now. So he's playing football and I'm coaching. So you already know how that's going right now.
It's progression.
Yeah. We just lost this weekend. We lost by 3 points and two touchdowns got called back and we fumbled. So one of the kids had and this is a total segue moment, but one of the kids had a mean Deion Sanders, I've waited all my 8-year-old life to get a breakaway touchdown to do a high step kind of thing. And he took off. Went across the field. Like, it's one of them, those like plays that, like, if they showed the like dots on the field, like, it you'd be like, what kind of shit is this? he went negative 20 and gained 60. That makes no sense. But he did that. Like, he really went all over the damn field and then got to like the 5-yard line. And this one kid, I am like defensive coordinator,
D-line, O-line coach,
right? I'm responsible to try to make these really nice 8-year-old boys mean on the weekend.
Right. So
it's fun for that purpose, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they are, like, when I say we have really good kids, like, they knock the boys down and be like, oh, man, are you good? Like, all right. make sure you find me after the game. I'll trade you a Fortnite card. Like, it's like,
right.
Come on, y'all. Like, get this shit has to stop. But he breaks off, takes off, right? I mean, down the field, he's gone. Like, down. Neon Deion prime time move. He's high-stepping, gets to the 5-yard line. Some kid on the other team, I don't believe he ran
it because
he was right there and, like, stripped the ball out the kid's hand and recovered it. And then they didn't end up scoring, but it was like we had one of those teachable moments because he came to the sideline and just was like, I fucked
up. Yep.
It was like, yeah, you did. It was that's exactly what it was. It was the Leon let. It was the let the ball, you know, spiking the ball on the 1-yard line, like throwing it in the air. Like somebody just did that. Who did that this weekend? Somebody, I think, for South Carolina.
Yeah, did it was that. Let the ball.
Yeah. Damn, I was like, Jesus, what are you doing? But it was one of those moments, but it was a real teachable moment. So I feel, you know,
having a lot of those.
Like I have those teachable moments too, and I try to just say, man, I just want to minimize the bleeding. So, like, you know what I'm saying? That's my whole thought process when it comes to trying to, like, let them do something. It's like, all right, are they gonna really bleed? Like, is it gonna gush? Or, like, how many band-aids? This is it a band-aid moment, or will I have to sit in the emergency room? Because,
well, our man, they're figuring out the copycat thing. So, like, one of the girls will be walking through the living room and, like, trip, you know, and just eat one, like, hit the ground, shoulder roll it off, and be scared.
And the other one will do the same. You're lying. Please don't tell me that.
But she won't come in and trip. She'll get into where we can see her and, like, slowly lower herself to the ground and then bump her screen. Because they, you know,
legit fall,
and we pick her up and kiss her, and the other girl
comes like,
in.
I wanted to.
Boop.
Give me that. Give
Boop.
Me
I
that.
I fell too, damn it.
Enough. Damn. Yeah. That's crazy. They fight randomly for us, and it's the littlest one that's the most aggressive. He's the scrappy dude of the of the clique, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, I was just, you know, I'm gonna just smack everybody in the room because I can. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know. But how has working in cannabis affected your life? That's a crazy question.
Right? To be completely honest with you, man, this answer, right? Like, it is most of my week every week. You know, if you just look statistically, like, I'm spending 40 plus hours doing it. I'm doing a podcast that talks about cannabis. Like, I'm going to chat with people on social media about cannabis events, or, you know, how'd you do that? How'd you guys roll that? What's that lineage? Where'd you get the pheno? Like,
right.
It never stops. So, I mean, there's the obvious, right? Cannabis has given me more drive in my life. But if I'm being, you know, a little bit more existential about it, cannabis affecting my life has validated everything I thought when I was a kid. Mm. So, like, for me, like, when I started, the first time I ever tried cannabis ever, I was 14. And I was with my buddies, like, two guys I knew. And, like, you're talking with football and stuff. So I was a marching band guy.
What did you play?
Oh, drums, man. I went to college for I have a performance degree.
I feel like an ass because I did want to talk about you, my friend, have one of my, when I make it, I'll get it.
Don't even know it.
Uh-oh. That's the wild shit about it. Like, you don't even know what you have, but when I get it, you know, like,
bouquet, we're going to have it.
Right, and right. You'd be like, "Oh yeah, there it is. They're doing it," and that's one of them. I believe that you have one of the things, and it's wild that you said it, and you know what I mean. I really want you. You have an electric drum set, my friend.
Yes, sir. That is safety for me, man.
that would be. So randomly, I play like 4 or 5 instruments.
Right on.
People have sometimes, like, my friends that, you know me are like, dog, you are honestly the Des Equis man, because you so, like, they really had to get that shit off of you. Like, that there's no way that you can do all of this random shit. But it's like, yeah, no, I really do. So, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's one of the things that I'd be like, damn. I saw that and I was like, this guy.
Man, once my wife said she was pregnant, the acoustic drum set, like the loud drum set, we had to move it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm going to budget for it. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to get this thing, but I have it. I digress for the cannabis. So,
yeah.
So, 14 with my buddies from marching band. Like, the thing with marching band, when you do social, you only go up. Like, yeah. You're the bottom. We were the bottom of the high school and college. Like, why, when it was like, hey, do you smoke some weed? Like, everyone else would have been like, that's drugs. But, like, for us in the marching band, we were like, no, all musicians that we like have talked about their cannabis use. Like, why not try it?
Right.
The first time I tried it, it was with friends. We were at my one buddy's parents' house. Like, we weren't driving around. And I had a ball. Like, I laughed so hard. Like, had a great time. But, like, 45 minutes before curfew, I walked right in the door. Like, you know, you're 14. When you're 14,
it was cool.
You walk everywhere with a chip on your shoulder. I was happy. I was happy. I woke up and felt great. Fast 17, first time I, like, got drunk. And I felt like embarrassed myself, like,
mm-hmm.
horrible. So in my brain, I was like, you know, if I realize that this really isn't hurting anything, like, I'm not hurting anybody doing this. So it became habitual. You know, there were friends
yeah,
from marching band practice. We'd smoke a little or like a, you know, just a little bit of weed before we went and did something to feel lighter with the mood. Well, my friend's parents that found, like friends of mine that didn't smoke, it was that immediate stigmatizing of, well, Dave's a loser. He's never going to accomplish anything. It's just that because he tried weed once. Look, now working in camp, messages from people who used to say that about me, being like, I'm interested in getting my card, or my mom just went through another round of got her card. What tell me? Like, how can we help? It absolutely states that what I was doing at 14 still relevant and was just as, it's just now accepted more now. You know, it's been 20 years and it's, I 7 of those 20 years since the first time I inject cannabis to right now, 3 of them felt like I haven't had to answer for my cannabis use. And that's because I'm employed in the industry. And now spending all that time answering for my choices that hurt no one is now justified because no one else is being, and they want to make these choices now too.
God dang. That is a full circle gem right there. Like, I feel like that might be what motivates you as well. Like, that's a,
oh yeah.
Like, that's a real aha, but that really validates and really shows, like, you just didn't see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I might have just been really forward thinking for real. And that's what it was. That's the, well, I think helped. That to me, that's what gets me right now is the
yeah.
the forwardness of it. And the, like, so now when you get those, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a very, don't make me aha someone, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'll have those. I've had recent, not necessarily recently, but especially when, you know, things started, you know, getting together, and it's been like, aha, like,
yeah,
I told you.
Well, that was me with some of these science things that I was doing. So I would go to these symposiums or these conferences, or, you know, they would send you like scholarly articles because they're free to publish. So like, those were my aha moments when you'd read something that was like, in some patients, they've shown that excessive amounts of terpinolene make you creative, or high levels of beta pinene make you euphoric. Those were those moments where I was like, I didn't have a clue what strain it was, where it was grown, how it got to me, but I knew it made me laugh or like made me feel calm. And fast forward 15 years, and I'm sitting in a conference with a bunch of doctors, and I'm sitting there with a degree. But they're like, they're talking about, you know, terpene or this minor cannabinoid, or if we isolate THCV, we appetite suppression. Like, that was my moment to be like, oh man, it's not just smoke some weed and feel good. It's smoke some weed. Here's why. Like, it was, was my biggest aha. And that was when weed makes me feel good too. Cannabis is better. As many people as are willing to try it.
I think those moments are when it really, you know, when I feel like it's those, I call them like stoner ahas, like when your lighter finally, when your lighter goes off, like, you know what I mean? It's like
the wind dies down long enough for you to light it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn, this is what it is. Like, That's a real good man. That's when you look, especially when you're able to look back on it and have those moments too. Like that's special. How do you generate new ideas?
I'll be honest with you, especially in cannabis, I generate a lot of these ideas by just yes. That's a big thing. Or to you and the team at Bouquet, but I've also said it when y'all aren't. One of the things that you guys do, the Bouquet team, is y'all show up. Like that in cannabis, most of the time people say showing up. In cannabis, showing up 3/4 of the battle. Because, like, think about how we before cannabis was legal, man. These learning how to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're meeting somebody on the top at a mall, and when you go there and they're telling you like, this is White Widow and my buddy grows it and this, well, if you pursue that, meet that buddy and then talk.
Yep.
He grew it because it was, and then learn from him. So like, now that we're industry, the way that I generate new ideas is literally having a conversation and someone saying like, man, I'd spend a car note of a strain of weed that, you know, that gave me better balance. Like, then you just, like, that's my new idea is, all right, how do we fill that? I really enjoy painting in the white space. I think with cannabis, okay. Especially medical, I think we tend to watch people paint over existing paint in the white space. And that ideas. I want to take that. I want to try that new thing, you know, and if, hey, look, law won't allow it for medical here in this state, then let's find out what will, you know, here to bags of weed outside of an elementary school. I'm here to like set up an education, like, you know, right. Spread the word that we're good by associating other good companies. Like that's that I think we need to do in cannabis, because cannabis wasn't corporate 10 years.
Mm-mm.
So
not at all.
We need to keep that. When you go to Ocean City, how they got those big kites that look like a whale. They're like 8.
Yeah.
You know how they keep them and I feel like we need to do. It's like stay rooted in what we used to do and stay rooted in that mindset of no one likes us. Rises us, you know, we're wrong. This is what, and then I turn that absolutely into fuel to prove to everyone like you're wrong about that, you're wrong about that, you're wrong about that, and you're next to fix it.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. I think like I was telling I was talking to my mom and I was like, you know, it's so wild that like cannabis has been one of those things where it's been like you get to see everybody.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't, you know, National Cannabis Fest. Like, I just remember seeing so many people and no one really fit the description of your random stoner. And it's like, there is no description. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because the random, you fit the description. It's the random joke that I have. Like, people be like, oh man, if I go someplace, I'd be like, well, you know, I do fit the description. So
yes,
I don't necessarily, I have to keep my head on a swivel. So, but it's really the same thing. It's like, with cannabis, there is no description. Everybody, man, uses it. And you know, it's the from the corporate on down. And I think that's one of the biggest things about cannabis that I like. And just, you know, especially working in this industry, because, you know, you go to like NCF and you see everybody at NCF. You're like, damn, I didn't even know this subsector of group of people even existed. And you know what I'm saying? That's just a dope part of it. So, you know, that's just something that I randomly like. But
it was my first time watching a woman in her 70s come in, get approved for her card, and come back 30 days. I feel better. My appetite's back. I'm in a better mood. Like, no, my pain didn't go from a 10 to a 0. My pain went from a 10 to an 8, but I care a lot less. Like, you know, like I'm not as anxious or afraid to stand up as I once was. Or
right.
But then the next day to go in and be able to do a consult or meet with somebody and it be a 24-year-old kid who just came back from overseas and blew his back out in the Army. And like
right.
came over and was addicted to opioids and like had lost some of his friends like to the, like to watch it help a 70-year-old woman who just wants to write the last chapters of her life neatly in pen versus scribbled in pencil. Like, that, and then this hero, both of them benefit from cannabis. That was when my, and I was like, nah, this truly is that healing, and I've got to learn more.
Oh yeah. I mean those have to be some of your most satisfying things that, you know what I'm saying, like straight up, because like when those are those aha moments, man. Like I think we have so many of those, and the more we have in this industry, the more connective stuff we get, you know what I mean? Because people, I think I say, man, just humanizing it is that's, you know, that helps in the stigma so much.
About it. I can't remember the last time I went to an event, not work. Like my wife and I go meet up with friends, or we go to like a street festival or something with the girls. I can't remember to something that I didn't see someone who knew me that they didn't say, "Hey, man, so what?" Like, I think I might get my card. What would you, like,
in years,
I don't think, we had a first birthday party for our daughters, and multiple people were like, so tell me, I think, didn't you say you work with the company? I saw that they just had a building open, you know, like,
people,
they talk about it. There's that old, when I left college to the degree in drums, he was then on the radio for a long time in Baltimore. And so like that time was when set was like super hot. Like you could just stop and say sex and you would get
right.
It was hot. It was zeitgeist. To me, in my, I haven't seen anything with the word cannabis.
You know what? CBD.
Right.
That whole, you know, people, what I've realized, and I was talking to a friend the other day about how people now use the disguise of CBD to have conversations with me about cannabis, like the THC can. So yeah, I had these CBD gummies, but they wasn't strong enough. What you think about, I was like, yeah, well, you know, have you had a squeeze? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like, you know, well, like, this is...
too, man. It's that education, even, like, it's the stuff that we take for granted.
True.
There's this lost facet of education where someone thinks, okay, I can either smoke a fat doobie like Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg, or I have to eat these gums. When I saw it on television, and like swallow their tongue and the clown and did cartwheels. Right. Like, if you think it's burnout stoner or eat it and be a weird, energetic creep, well, of course. But if someone said, like, oh, like a tincture, like you just put a tincture under your tongue, like you said, like squeeze, add it to a drink, or it, like, with it. They make, you know, ISO syringes that you can cook with and make your own butter. There's so many other options that I think people in general have lumped it. So then when you mention CBD, it's there's that parachute pull where it's like, you know, right. I do like cannabis.
Right.
Nah, man. Like, you like cannabis.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, one of the like, so, you know, I lost my grandma this year, right? And it's okay. I'm slowly getting over it. It's a lot better than it was. But one of the things that, like, within the last maybe I would say like 3 years or so, this is even like since this whole like the bouquet run has started, I'll say. She had arthritis, so like I would be like, "Hey, grandma, is this a cream? I got some cream for you that you might want to try." And she like, "I don't know about this cream." So she finally tried, we got her this CBD cream, like a 50-50 cream. And man, she was typing and doing everything, tying up stuff with her. And she was like, this ain't bad. And I was like, yeah. And it's just funny, like, I got a couple of, you know, other family members. Hey, man, so yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I've just normalized it within my family. I have a, you know, somewhat religious family, I would say. So, you know, like, just normalizing. And it's like, yeah, you know, this, you can still be very productive and stuff like that. Like, I think the wildest thing is, like, family reunions and like cousins coming and being like, dog, you got a rolling paper company, dog. Like, yeah, bro, like it's cool, ain't it? Like,
so what's up with that? Like, tell me some more. Like, for weed, you'd be like, I mean, you could, yeah, I mean, you could do whatever you want to with these papers. Like, but yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, quick. And, pivot for the part. Definitely somewhat of the more fun.
Not saying that the first part wasn't fun, because that's definitely like informative and great information and good stories. But sometimes, like, you've talked about some of it, but like this being this twin girl dad, like, when you knew you was having twins, like, what? How was that? First of all.
So I'll never forget the moment as I live, man. I'll never forget it. Like doing the sonogram thing, and our original goal was just to confirm pregnant. Like, because we wanted to have a kid, we were ready, you know, mentally, financially, we felt like we were in a good spot, ready to have it. So we just wanted to verify it. And the woman doing the sonogram looks over at my wife and says, I've been doing this for a long time, and I sure know what twins look like. And I don't remember myself. Like, I remember how I felt. I remember nothing, but I remember eye contact with my wife, and all she said was my body. And like, from that moment forward, man, my focus, and it's wild. Like, dads, anybody listening with kids, there's a total shift you are, like, that moment in time. And mine, my focus was my wife. How do you feel? How can you, like, I read online that too much orange juice is bad. Like, I read that twins can give you indigestion. Like, I was all her to be comfortable, because I knew that I could not do shit about it, man. If she hurt,
right,
if she was sick, like, what can I take it from you? So my whole focus, he heard it was twin till the moment I breathed that first breath, man. All I cared about was how she was and how she was.
Yeah.
And now having the girls, man, it's it has now become, how is she doing? People at the same time. Like, I care about those women collectively on more than I ever could care about. I would quit everything I did to on them with.
That's dope.
Have you
noticed, man, that situation?
I guess, but no, I guess I feel it, but I wouldn't say I feel it as in, like, you know, all girls want to all be doing the same thing. Like, they're still real young that they just want to, like, they'll pick up a piece of food off the ground. Like, they see that they have it. Like,
yeah.
So I think just the it is just the amount of time that my wife spends with them is me. That's where I'll get those.
Right.
Like, because I'm from home a lot, and she'll bring the girls home, you know, back from her parents' house while she's at work and stuff. And I'll hear laughing, or like, I'll hear their toys going, and those are those in the basement, like, no, I'm about to at 1:30, like, I'm about to call and go upstairs.
Right.
I just, it was such a mental shift, man. cliche of like, oh, if I can do it, any do it. Listen, if I can do it twice, legitimately, anyone can do it. Like,
yeah.
I knew I was not good at multitasking and was like, almost a little ultimate multitasking in here for you, Dave.
I totally feel you. Like, I feel like when I became a dad, that I, that was the day that I was a superhero. Like, everything, like, you know, it's like, oh no, I can do anything, bro. Like, I literally can do anything. Like, I am the coolest person in the world to my boys right now. Like, there is no one cooler unless my son is one of my old basketball. So unless, like, Steph Curry comes and gives him a jersey or something, or Bradley Beal, like, he's a huge Bradley Beal fan because he's a wizard. He's in my arm. Like, he used to go to sleep at halftime of the game. So it's like, I'm glad he now stays up a little bit, but it's like, I know at 8 o'clock you're going to sleep, buddy. So,
right,
you know, but that's
if I get the girls laughing real hard, like when they really start laughing in my mind. Yeah. I am Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, for sure.
All I'm doing is like hitting myself in the face with a pillow.
That's it. And but you are the man. Like, that is your thing. Do you think cannabis and fatherhood can coexist?
I'll be honest. I think cannabis and anything can coexist. Do it the way it's supposed to be done for a medical point. Like, that, like, right. as we're sitting here talking right now, next to me, like, on my desk. So if the girls get up, you know, fuss or anything like that, like, I can, like, yeah, right. It can. And there are times for myself, especially, where, like, with, I don't think I would be as present in great moments, and I don't think as focused in the bad moments without. I mean, if I, like, there is, you know, I know you've been in these shoes too, man. Long day at work, frustrating day at work. Then I
for sure.
The girls are screaming, crying, like, not even normal, and they're wailing. And then my wife's annoyed because that's how it's been. And, you know, I go to get 5 minutes of reprieve and, like, wash my hands and change clothes and stuff. And, like, my email goes up because there's something else to do. Like, all of that frustration. Have that quick moment, little touch pen, or when the girls go to bed, I'm gonna eat this gummy, and I'm gonna go stand in the shower, and I'm gonna unwind. Or I could not do any of that, knowing it works for me. I could bypass doing it overnight, or let frustration from them be fussy for 10 minutes take me away from the 2 hours that they were in a great mood, like. It's,
and that's where you mess up at.
It's a presence thing. It's an awareness thing for me. Introspective.
That's so true.
Ask you this. You think, all right, since and I being in the industry,
there's a hard just love for cannabis moms. But they don't do shit about cannabis dads.
It's definitely untapped, but I also think, I mean, in the industry, it's a lot of stuff we take for granted. It's real hard for me to step away things through the lens of someone who absolutely underwater for 4 years in this industry. Like,
right.
To step away as someone who, there's that crazy stigma that a woman doing anything seems to be, like, wild, even though, like, just capable and better than men at a lot of different things. Like, but then you take that next step of, oh, a woman with a child who also consumes this, like, wow, that triple threat. But you, for a man as a kid, in cannabis, because a man consuming cannabis isn't that weird. Like, you know, name the five owners in history. Like, man. Right, right. It doesn't matter who.
Right.
That's kind of us. Like, yeah, I know. I figured you smoked weed. Like you said, you listened to Wiz Khalifa. I figured you had smoked weed before, and you're a man. It's not that weird. But if a woman, like, oh, I also, oh, that's, you know, whoa, in the industry, it's right. Celebrated.
That's provocative.
And just, it works, it's for not... people. Like, if you want to, you want right, something right. weird in terms of, kind of show me a dolphin that loves it. Like, that would freak me out.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be fucking hilarious, though. Oh, my goodness. I would love to see that. Like, if that about to write, I'm working on a stand-up show, and that's about to be a joke. I appreciate that. Like, I got to help, and I let it. And you think, like, I just, like, I had to write that as a dolphin joke, man. Like, that's about to be, but I am, I'm sorry.
This show is random, yo.
Like, we, you know, this is some real shit. Like, nobody thought that, you know what I'm saying, you was going to give me a damn dolphin joke for this show, but. Yeah.
Don't rule it out, man. There might be another one coming. Keep that pen close.
Shit. Here we are, yo. We got a goddamn dolphin joke. Man, listen, we met. What was that? The second, that was, I think that was our second NCF.
Yeah.
And you remembered the interaction, and that's dope, man. Anytime we do dope things like that, it's something that I'm really appreciative of, and, like, you know what I'm saying, just having those conversations with people. And you was like, man, you got me to smoking again. And I was like, man, that,
yeah.
That was all. I was glad I had a little tip.
I was a flower guy. I was like, nah, I'll get away from it. Like, I don't, it smell lingers, the process is long. And I was a flower guy all through school and college. Right. And had no fire in it. I was, you know, vape pens or RSO. Let me do some edibles, maybe cook with it, you know, different ideas, cannabis. And then met up with the bouquet team, got a, I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll just buy a little bit of flour, roll it up, and try. And it was like that. I was like, well, damn it. Damn it.
God! Like, damn.
Right. Of course, I, like, it'd be one thing if I rolled it like I tried to use my feet, but, like, I rolled it well.
Right.
I was like, great, and it burned. Like, everything went well. And, of course, I was like, well, damn it, here we go. I'm doing this again.
Back down the hole. But, man, one thing that I remember at Gaithersburg, you was talking about shoes.
Yeah, man.
And you, my friend, for a lot of people that can't, a lot of folks ain't coming out there with dates and stuff. My man knew the exact date of the King Griffey's, when they dropped. What was going on? I was like, hey, yo, let me find out. He know a little something about the kid in these shoes, though. Because this was those are some of my favorite recently
completed my grill.
Man, for a white kid living in the suburbs in the 90s, man, you could not come. It's not Ken Griffey Jr. I swore I was Ken Griffey. And I loved him. Like, I was obsessed with the guy. Music has always been my passion, but I played baseball, like, all through my childhood. We won states when I was in high school. That was when I peaked in terms of sports. But, like, that was a whole different world for me with baseball, and 100% what kept me doing baseball every year was Ken.
Like,
what was?
I bought every pair of shoes.
Oh, I was 24, man, and my dad. Okay. We have the same name, so when my dad assistant coached, he was number 30.
Oh, so, my, like, gosh! Y'all were doing it. Yeah, oh, y'all did the Griffey.
We did the we did the grip. We saw, like, my dad and I have like a 45-second handshake that we made together, like through the, like it was such a bonding moment for me and my dad, just because Griffey and his dad were close. Like, he impacted my life so much, man. So I knew those sneaker drops because I was, you know, I was delivering papers and helping my parents around the house just to get, you know, that $120 so I could get the new Griffeys when they dropped. Like, that focus was Ken Griffey Jr.
Man, what are your five, I guess, favorite shoes, if you could think of them?
Ooh, all right. So definitely number one is that classic Griffey with the 24 Velcro across it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it, man. You pick any colorway, it looks good.
It does. You know what? Even the anniversary one that made it look like a baseball kind of.
Yeah.
They still look good as shit, though. Like, they still look good, though.
My wife has talked me out of five different pairs of those things, man. I'm about to drop $250 on them. And she's like, and I am notorious for getting my shoes dirty the minute I put them on. Like, I people with really clean shoes, man, that makes me nervous as hell. Like, I don't know how you, what do you, you only eat granola and like dry food. You can't possibly eat wet food. That'll get on your shoes. I'm assuming people carry you.
We're gonna talk off the junk, man, because I don't get paid for the sponsorship that I should get for this product, but I got something for you that will that'll get your shoes extra clean and you can protect them, because I did a sneakerhead post on Instagram, and I did it. I just recently cut off the notifications to it because it was north of 400 the last time I saw it, and that was a little bit ago. But my cousin tagged me in it, and he was like, "Dog, I know you fit perfect on this sneakerhead drink, so here you go." And I tagged a couple of other people, and my man was like, "You know your beaters are the Cactus Jack ones?"
What?
And he was like, "That's what you consider your beaters, dog." And I was like, but I didn't realize it. They really are my beaters, though, dog. Like,
all right, you ready? So I got a good beaters not knowing what you're doing story for you. So I was like 13, 14, and this was when it was hot to skateboard, man. If you went in without a skateboard, you were a lame. It didn't matter what you did. But where I was growing up, man, skateboarding was it. And so I got this skateboard, but I went to this little skate shop in my hometown, and they had a raffle, and I entered to win this raffle. And I wound up winning second prize. First prize was like, you know, a couple words, like all this other stuff. Second prize, Airwalks. Man, they were so comfortable. They were like suede on the top. And I remember when I got them, I was like, man, I can't wait to wear these. Like, my friends are going to think they're so cool. And there was a signature on the tongue. Like, someone had signed the tongue of it. And again, like, I know nothing about skateboarding. Well, I wore them all the time. I was out riding with them, everything. Randomly, a friend of a friend of a friend, like at a little session we were hanging out with, he was like, "Yo, when did you get the Tony Hawks?"
And my God.
They were signed by Tony Hawk. Dude, I had obliterated these shoes, and they were signed Tony Hawk Airwalks, and I ruined them. Absolutely.
That's funny as shit, but it's like, oh my fucking goodness.
Yeah, man. I had no idea. I just remember the guy asking, like, what did you, like, where'd you get the Tony Hawk Airwalks, dude? I can never find them. And I was like, what, these? And he was like, yeah, man, there's limited, like, this, that. It was wild. I had that realization. And then it was like 6 years, maybe 5 years later, when he was on the X Games doing that 900, like, breaking the world record. The whole time in my head. And that's one of those stories that, like, in the moment, if I told people, like, yo, I used to have his shoes signed by him, everyone would be like, You're bullshitting. Like, that's a total lie. You never had, but I absolutely did, and I ruined them.
I think that I should start another show that just gives that that gives people opportunities to tell random of either shock or either stories
I don't even give a shit about,
right? Like, I have the worst, best people don't give a shit about story right now. And you know who it's about? Fucking R. Kelly.
Oh, no.
No that one, might no be one.
The best, worst time to tell
exactly, story. Exactly. It's one of the best times I've ever had him. And it's like, you tell people that story, and now you tell people, like, yo, I had
time with R. Kelly before.
And people be like, now you tell that story now, and people. You were probably peeing on people, weren't you? And he's like, no, I had nothing to do with it. Right. But no one gives a shit, man. It's like, damn. That missed the opportunity for the story. But it's like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of them great stories where you, at the end of the story, you say, damn.
Well, that was, so my time in radio, I got to, because my personality in general, I kind of live by that mentality of like, well, do it. Like, do it so you can
right,
say.
Right, right.
And when I was in radio, man, I got an opportunity to do some voiceover work, like for commercials and stuff on top of what other stuff I was doing. And for like 2 years, man, the end of the Maryland Lottery commercial, where it would be some restrictions apply, must be a children enter, not valid in Pennsylvania, Delaware. Man. Yo, that was me. That was me. How hard it is to convince somebody that that's you.
Hey, like, yo, that's funny as shit. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. And then if you, between 2007 and 2013, the anytime for the Maryland State Fair, the Maryland State Fair, that was me.
Yo, I hear it and see it now when you said it. So, like, randomly, one of my friends, she sung the Shoe City commercial.
The Your City, My City, Shoe City?
You better fucking know it. The T-shirts, sweatshirts, footwear and boots. Yes, dog.
No.
She sung that motherfucking joint. Like, randomly, right? I got a random joint where I used to, so I did a year of AmeriCorps in college. And I was on an ad for Metro Teen AIDS to get tested. And it was on the Metro bus, like the Metro bus, and it was on in the Metro, on the subway and everything. And I used to fuck with people and like sit under my picture. And people be like, what? Hold on, is that? Oh shit, that's okay. I'd be like, you know, okay. That's just, it just cheesy as shit. But people like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those, it'd be those random things. Like, I still got the picture. I got the pic posted downstairs and everything. I just saw it, and my mother was like, that was just random as shit, wasn't it? Like, I was like, it was just a random ass time. Like, you was the fucking lottery joint, the state fair. Like, that's random as shit.
Yo,
very important, like, times, though.
Right. Well, and it's like, it's a badass opportunity. So, like, when I was doing the Maryland Lottery thing, it's not because they came to me and they were like, Dave, you've got the voice. There were people who were professional voiceover people, but it was literally like, yo, we've got a deadline to meet. You're the one next to the microphone. Please do this.
Fuck,
like,
with it. Right.
So, like, I went and did it, and they were like, yo, good job. Accepted it. I was like, right on, thinking, you know, this is one of those standard, like, make good. Here, we gave you what you wanted. And then, you know, like, you do that shit in college, like, to turn in a project, like, attach an empty Word document. That way, when
right,
like, hey, there's nothing here, you can be like, oh, silly me, but it bought you another day to like do the work,
right?
Like, I figured it was that, where I was like, look, I'm just gonna record it as a holder, they'll send it over, the lottery will send it back and be like, we would like a professional, not this guy, like,
right,
and they accepted it, they were like, no, we're down. And then it was months, dude, I'd be in the car with friends or like at a bar, and you'd hear like, let yourself play. And I was like, everyone, shut up. Like, shut up.
Right.
And then, of course, like, you're in a bar and people are like, even if it was you, I don't care.
It's
insignificant. But to me, I was like, guys, you have to hear me speak really fast.
Like, no, that shit is really cool, though. Like, that's because you don't never, like, I want to just say, I know a person who did the end of the fast talking on the fucking commercial. That, because I'd be like, because here's the other part. Smack Me is like, do they speed that shit up? Or is that somebody just talking real fucking fast?
And so now, the way I did it. You want to peek behind the curtain? I'll tell you how I did it.
I want to peek behind the curtain. That's my problem. see, the problem is I forever want to see who the fuck is behind the curtain, man. I want to know who Oz is. Like, that's my problem. So.
We are kindred souls, you and I. So it was not one take Timmy, I will be honest.
Okay, cool.
But here's the way I did do it. So assuming this was me recording, it would be done this way. You would go, some restrictions apply. Must be age in order to enter. Stop. Breathe again. Not valid in Maryland, Delaware, or Virginia. Stop. Breathe. Sales online, MarylandLottery.com. Like, that's how you do it. And then you go in and
And then you just cut it and edit it.
Yeah. So, you know Tech N9ne, the rapper?
I do.
So if you ever hear in his songs, a lot of his like ad libs, he'll do like cha or like yeah in the background.
Yeah.
He does it on the inhale. So because he's rapping so fast, he can't pull away from the mic to inhale. So rather than the cut inhale, his ad libs go over the so that you don't hear him like gasp for air.
Okay.
And that's like an old radio trick, man. You'll hear some dudes on the radio that breathe exclusively through their nose.
Yeah.
So like you'll hear them talk. This is what we're talking about this morning. If you breathe through your nose, everyone can hear it. You have to be very mindful that microphone picks up.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
You don't realize stuff like that.
It's the nuance, right? And that's part of what I bring with me in my role now is like being confident of what it means to talk to people. Like we said it at the top of this show,
man. Yeah, for sure.
For me, things is talking to no one, which is literally what I was doing in radio. There, I was talking to nobody in the room, but then having you, like that to me, was nuts. Like we could pull numbers and see that I was talking to thousands of people in Baltimore at the same time, at any time. But in that, and when I started doing it, dead serious, I had a picture of my wife, and I would talk. Mm. Like that was how I got through it. Was I would read my prompts to my wife to just feel like there was someone there.
Somebody there.
Yeah.
But it probably made it more, you know what I'm saying, real. And
oh, for sure. Believable,
you know what I mean? Like, I would definitely feel like it would definitely be more comfortable. So, you know what I'm saying? It would definitely sound better and feel better and all that. So, shit.
It's a wild thing, man. People, and it's to assume, I mean, but like a lot of people feel like, oh, man, you just turn the mic on and start talking. But like, if you're being recorded, you don't talk.
That shit is difficult. No, yeah, you don't.
And then,
you don't.
Like someone cracks that mic and they're like, "Hey, Baltimore, how's everybody do?" And it's like,
yo, right.
You've never spoken in that pattern in your life,
ever.
Like, what?
It is so unbelievable, but it works for you, maybe. I'm gonna knock out these last four questions for. Who's your?
Oh, unequivocal, man, Damian Marley.
Really?
Not a second doubt in my mind. I would love to sit down and smoke weed with Damian Marley.
Okay.
Like, I feel like, like you're one you're one generation away from Bob Marley, and then I could listen to Damian read the user manual for a lawnmower. Everything he does, if you put to a beat, his rhythm, his pattern, everything. I smoked with him and we talked about would hang on his words like monkey bars.
That's I gotta add that to the list. We adding that to the list, y'all. We got a favorite stoner list. I've been keeping a list for people put get use who they say. That I mean, shit, he has not been on there. So that's, you know what I mean. Like, we got his daddy on there, but that's man. Okay. There we go. What is you mentioned music, man? You're a lover of music. What's some of your high tunes, as I like to say?
Oh, like stuff to listen to after I've.
Mm-hmm.
So I am in a band called Blues Traveler from like the 90s, and
Yeah,
they're like a band, you know. Kind of, they're older dudes now. They're all like in their 50s, but they still tour. That's the type of music, man. I like listening to songs like that. However, if we're talking like early morning or like a good sativa or something, man, you get me going. Vibes Cartel, Damien, obviously, Popcorn. Some of these guys, man. Coffee, super talented. Coffee, I love. Like, those are the. I'm not a dancer, but I will move with songs like that.
There we go. Okay, shit. Now I'm gonna have to. I play. That's my thing. Like, I'm that DJ
on the internet.
Right.
Like, it's the
Batman.
Right.
S on my forehead. It's curling out. Like, oh my god.
Playlist.
Yeah, everybody, like, cause you know, I bouquet playlist.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I'm be like, yeah, I'm always making a playlist. So it's like, man, I got you though. I'm gonna get you that playlist line. That'll be a dope. I'm gonna give you some old joint too. I got you. All right, yeah. I got a nice little, yeah, okay. I got you, man.
What else do you like to do
while you're medicating?
My number one favorite thing in the world when I medicate, shower. That always been my like little zen spot where I meditate, whether I've hit it or not. The shower is like, because to me, that's one of those spots, you know, teenage boy, there's really nowhere safe when you're with, you know, like,
sleep first,
they mess with you. You don't want to go do something and everybody else does it. You have to hear about it for years.
Yeah.
Growing up, the shower place where I was alone, safe. And if you came like trying to mess with me, I just assumed you wanted to see me naked. Like, right. Like that's the only reason. With someone in the shower, no one shower fully clothed, so if you like, that's why I felt safe. So now
that's a very peaceful time. Yeah
like that's, I'm a night shower guy. I know a lot of people are like, oh, morning showers okay. are the best. I take a shower, my wife, and we've done this before, my wife and I'll go out, be out, you know, but be out to like 3 in the morning. We'll goes upstairs, hit magic button where all the makeup falls off and she's like beautiful in us, and I will take a shower at 30 in the morning. Like, I will, it greatest feeling to me, just stand that's there real. And yeah, man, I, that's my, and it's, you know, the stand love being outside. I adore playing the drums. Like, it, you know, I like to socialize. NCF was dope, just to go out there, you know,
it was just to walk, see people. Yeah,
interact with people. But in terms of medication, and I've worked myself into a regimen that, like, there's not a single thing like doing medicate because the way that I medicate help all of that stuff happen. So like I like to medicate and work. Like I like to medicate and answer a bunch of damn emails. Like take the trash. I like everything, right. And I enjoy all of
that. I say it's the thing of life.
Yeah.
Just like one of those seasons.
Yeah, now look, you can over season stuff.
You definitely but can, right? So that's what I'm saying. You just want to. Just a little bit, you know, a little dash, put a little bit on there, and it'll do pretty good. Last question I got for my this or that, and would you
ever have
a never end of your
four strings,
or
okay,
be a touring drummer on your favorite band?
Oh, all right. So I don't know if this is how you've played it with other people, but do I get any qualifying questions? From the hip.
You shoot from the hip. But you can ask. Oh, you can ask. So this is the thing. Oh. This is the thing. Now, you definitely get to ask some questions, but you only get two questions.
Deal.
Okay.
The first question is if the touring drummer route, does that there involved, or it's just not my four favorites and like I have to track it down and find it?
You or does it
I'm the touring drummer and no canvas.
It you still can, but you will have a difficult time finding it.
Okay. And thing one is that in all forms, like is that, hey man, I really want a dab of this, or if I can.
That is in that is, yes, that is in all forms.
Okay.
Even elixir-esque, if you will.
Right. Ooh.
Well,
yes. The fact that I still have access to cannabis is not always the best. It almost with my life now. I'm just not the touring drummer.
Okay.
Pick that touring drummer one, man. But like, I would do the touring stuff if I could bring my kids and like bring my wife. Like if it became a family thing, man, I wouldn't even blink at it. But if it meant I don't see kids or I'm gone for 8-9 months at a time, I'd rather have cannabis and access to my favorite things in the world than my hobby and from everything else.
Because you've seen them how many times? Like 29 or something like that?
I've seen them 30 times.
30 times? Yeah. That's crazy. But that's how I've done that with the movie.
Set list twice either, man. Never twice have they played the same set list.
Damn.
Same, never. And I've seen them. So people, when you graduate high school, you like, oh, I'm going to go travel to California, or I'm going to buy a new computer, get a new car or something. I asked my parents for gas. I saw Blues Traveler like 8 times in a row. I went and traveled and saw. And my traveled and saw my favorite band.
That's dope as shit.
Again, man, try it. Just try it. It's something that, like, I think I could do it now. I don't think I would do it now.
Yeah,
17 with a little bit of money.
Why the fuck not? Why not? Yeah.
Like, and that was for school. So, like, prom, I was clown. We won states for marching band, states for baseball. Like, I felt indestructible. And then it was like, what do you want to do this summer? Yeah, man. Play eight times. I was going to drive myself. Like, I'm going to go alone. And watch eight shows in a row. I'm going to do it.
And never the same set.
Even on back, never saw them play anything twice.
That is fucking insane.
That's why. Because I'll, you medicate a little bit, throw it on, it sounds a little different. There are certain songs by them where, like, I'll hear a thing in it and be like, ah, that's not how they played 2016.
Right.
Play it, they would transition out this way, and now they're transitioning into this song. Like, it just became, and then for me, the people I met, again, I say about this industry, like, the people that I met at these Blues Traveler shows are the reason why I all want to go to Blues Traveler shows. Like, I was, so this was what, 04? Like, internet isn't like it is. Those forums and, like, out to people, like, who's going to the show in Virginia? Like, I'll be wearing a blue tie-dye shirt. Like,
right, that right. Was how I,
which, like, we talk about it now here in, that is a roadmap to be, like, I, telling strangers, hey, here's what I'm wearing, here's what I look like, and I need a place to stay. Like, it was, and I'm not a big hold your own, man. I am prison food, dude. I am done to take me. So,
but you don't realize that. Like, you have those moments that, like, we all have those moments where you realize, like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, this wasn't Like, why did I do this?
Damn nice. And, like, one of the nights I was, like, I couldn't find a hotel near the venue, so I had to drive, like, a little bit away. And this guy and his wife that I met, they were, like, we live 5 minutes from here. We have teenage children. You can come and just sleep. They were so nice. Like, cooked me food, printed MapQuest directions for me.
Right. Oh, my God, MapQuest.
And if the wind blew a different way, they could have made sandals out of, like,
the worst case
scenario. And instead, I got, like, a beautiful breakfast from strangers. Like,
it's just so amazing, man, how close we were to horror movies in our lives, and now we're the doorbell rung, and it's like, you know what I'm saying, like, We're just total pussies now. It's so amazing. It's like, what? Like, my
more nervous what might happen than actually doing the thing.
Right, like, you worry so much. You're like, oh my gosh. I mean, I say, oh my gosh, something's. It's just, you know, who knows? Be like, dog, when you were 5 years old, you drank water from the fucking water hose. Right. Now you're like these kids, the kids on the team, everybody had, they were like, oh, we're not going to do a jug, we're like a cooler to make sure everyone has individuals, and we must write everyone's names. And I was like, this is even some shit before COVID, y'all. Like, guys, like, we drank from the fucking hose. We had a hose.
And fast forward 5 weeks from now, when those same people that were saying everyone needs an individual one, everyone is, it's going to be the same people going, guys, we really need to clean up all the litter on the field because it's
right.
Bad. And you just gave a bunch of 7 and 8 year old kids water bottles. Like, when right, they're done with right. it, they're just going to throw it on the ground. Like,
I was like, of course. This makes no sense. I was like, We're by squirt Gatorade bottles. Everybody open your mouth. You're playing football. We'll treat you guys like they do on the sideline. If you get wet, look at it as a cooling situation. Like, it's okay. Like, you'll be all right. You're 8 years old. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're indestructible. Like, trust me. You're fine. Our quarterback got injured. Came right back, like, the next couple of plays and played wide receiver for the rest of the game. Like, he's like, I'm all right. Like, we're okay.
And you if I scratch my ear too hard, man, I'm out for a day. Like, listen, back in the day,
if
man.
If you yawn too hard.
Right. Yeah. Like, I had to stop myself from laughing too hard because I don't want my face to be sore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the day, man, I fall from a, you know, story of my house directly like a rose bush and hop up and be like, oh, man, that's just going to leave by the end of the day. Just immediate healing.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, I'm a little bit of a sneeze in my ribs.
Oh my gosh. I think I had my last. So, you know, you always have like one last like Wolverine moment, like right. Indestructible moment. And then yeah. After that, it's like it's like when you're trying to hold your pee and you go pee, then once you break that seal, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
And then you're peeing for the rest of the night. I had my last Wolverine moment, and now I'm scared to take out the trash when it's raining because it's like that's I don't want to end up on the news, yo. that's the story about the man. That was found with a bag of trash, and like they was like, was this something happening or something? And they trying to write this whole murder mystery, and it'd be like, nah, he just slipped down the fucking stairs, bro. Like it's he could try to make it seem like somebody was trying to rob him or something. Like he still had all slipped down the stairs, and he
in the bag of trash fell on him.
They weren't trying to cover him up or anything. Like.
Damn, man, it's all downhill, man.
But man, listen, I'm not gonna hold you up no longer. You do gotta sell the story though. Like you gotta sell the story. I wanna sell it. Like, but you know, who's gonna tell the story when your ass is, you know what I'm saying? Like you under a bag of trash, like don't nobody know, but you just slipped and now you unconscious, then you wake up in the hospital or in the morgue or something, and they think that you're dead, but you just slipped. And hit your head really hard. Like I'm telling you, it'll be my luck. Like it'll be some dumb shit like that. Like that's like I'll fall, or it'll be like, oh man, what happened? And a tree branch fell as he was going down the stairs, and it make it look like, you know, something, some foul play. No, it was just like he slipped, bro. Like the floor was extra waxy.
They found a bullet. Stomach, like, oh my god, he got no, he choked on it and then wound up swallowing and fell.
right, like, what happened? Yeah, no bullshit. Like, man, how did he die? It was a rogue paper cut and it just turned worse. I don't know how it happened, but you know, we
told him not to eat because his jaw wasn't strong enough and he didn't listen.
Right,
to
right.
It. Look at him now.
Doctor said he needed a jawiotomy, but no, he didn't want to listen.
He said it's that a, dumb a shit. Man, it's a mandible, not a woman.
Right. Some dumb shit. Hey, man, listen, Dave. I appreciate you, man, for jumping on. This has been a fun ass evening right here. I was like, man, yeah, we just do a quick something. I look up, it's like, damn, we did. This is an hour and a dub.
And I
could right, man.
Kept going, man. I love chatting.
I know, man. Like I feel like this is one of them. Like, man, this shoot. Man, just call me, man. I ain't got no problem. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I always appreciate a good convo, man. This has been, man. Mo, y'all know who I am, of course, but my man Dave, the baker. You know what I'm saying? We call my man the baker right now. Dave Todd, man, I just appreciate you again for jumping on, man. This is just like I said, this has been an awesome evening. An array of topics this evening. But yeah, man, again, though, I really appreciate it, man.
Of course. It's all mine. I know you get to do this with guests, but I've only done it with you once. So it's very special to me, and I appreciate even being considered. It's nice to get behind the mic for a bit.
Yeah, man. Shoot, now that you want, like, I might have to pull you up on some guest drinks, man. Do some some drink, because you sound like you got a mean ass like drive, like the rush hour drive drink. Like, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could get pretty crazy with you on the show.
But you know I'll do it.
There it is, man. That's all I needed to hear right there. So y'all heard. Listen, you can't go back on it now because it's been recorded. So you know what I'm saying? it's there right now. Shit. But man, I appreciate you, man. Have a good night and enjoy the rest of the evening, man. Get yourself medicated if you ain't already. And I'll talk to you later, brother.
Yes, sir. Good one.
All right, bro.
All right, man.